broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On this Thursday morning, May 25th, as much of the world celebrates the ascension of our Lord, we give glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's been 40 days since we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday. Today, traditionally, Ascension Thursday, and you're starting it with Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producers, Elisa Murphy, and our godly council, Father Bjorn Lundberg, leads us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, as the Church throughout the world celebrates the ascension of your Son today or this Sunday into heaven, we ask you to lift our minds and hearts to heaven with him, to realize that we're called to eternal glory, that seed of glory has been planted within us, and he will give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to help cooperate with you on that path to heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful prayer. Great way to start this day as Gloria shares a thought from our foundress, Mother Angelica.
Admit it. We're all battling against God's will and our own wills. Give me one example of a problem you have, and I'll make a bet. You're fighting God's will.
And you're going to lose.
Yeah.
In the news at 2 minutes after the hour, President Donald Trump is meeting with European Union leaders. He arrived at European Union headquarters in Brussels this morning. Before leaving Italy, he talked about his meeting with Pope Francis.
He is something. He is really great. We had a fantastic meeting, and we had a fantastic tour. It was really beautiful.
Religious liberty was discussed in their meeting Wednesday. Gloria talks with Dr. Gracie Christie, advisor to the Catholic Association, in a few minutes about that and other topics. During their papal audience, Melania Trump asked Pope Francis to bless her rosary. As the First Lady held the rosary in both hands, Pope Francis prayed the blessing, making the sign of the cross. The First Lady, looking delighted and quietly, said, "Thank you."
Well, what's interesting is that the Daily Mail has reported that Melania Trump reveals she is Catholic and that she'll be the first Catholic to live in the White House since JFK.
Also, when she went to visit the Gesù Bambino Hospital, when she visited the chapel, she blessed herself with holy water, lit a candle, and then she also had her rosary with her that was at her wedding.
And so beautiful.
She says she and her sister were not baptized as infants, and they didn't make their first Holy Communion along with other kids their age. So I think the running question is, so when did she become baptized? So I'm looking for stories on that in the future.
Yeah, that might help explain, too, why there are so many Catholics within the president's inner circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, met Wednesday with a dozen victims of human trafficking. She describes them as remarkable women who are testaments to strength, faith, and perseverance in the face of unspeakable adversity and challenge. That encounter took place at the headquarters of the community of Sant'Egidio in Rome. There's been a fifth arrest in connection with the deadly terror attack in Manchester, England, Monday. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tells reporters aboard Air Force One about creating a center for moderate Islam in the Middle East to disrupt terror financing networks.
This is really a center of excellence that we're going to develop and then use it to hopefully replicate in other places around the world to disrupt the money flow. If the terrorists don't have money, it's hard for them to carry out their acts of terrorism.
President Trump meeting with the Belgian Prime Minister today and referring to Monday's attack targeting kids at a pop concert vows victory in the fight against terrorism.
It's a horrible situation. What took place is horrible, unthinkable, but we will win 100%.
Manchester police will no longer share information on that investigation with U.S. officials after media leaks. UK Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to raise that issue with President Trump later today as they meet at NATO headquarters in Brussels. A doctor who treated some of the victims of that attack says the number of unidentified children was overwhelming. Dr. Peter Mark Fortune at Royal Manchester Children's Hospital says he had a hard time focusing on medicine while he thought about what the parents might be going through.
I think one of the hardest things that certainly I directly dealt with my colleagues in the Children's Hospital was looking after children who we didn't know who they were. We didn't know their name. We hadn't identified them.
22 were killed in that attack. dozens injured, many of them seriously. The Senate hears testimony Wednesday on transnational criminal organizations. Tom Manger, president of the Major Cities Police Chief Association, says a group such as MS-13 extorts legitimate Latino business owners with threats against their families back in Latin America.
Victims here in the United States know that that threat of violence to their extended family in their native country is a true possibility, and that the perpetrators are out of the reach of U.S. law enforcement.
Committee Chair Minnesota Senator Ron Johnson notes the improper vetting by Customs and Border Protection of older male minors crossing the U.S.-Mexico border.
So many of the unaccompanied children are literally young men, prime gang age, and now we have documentation from whistleblower that CBP apprehended them, knew they were MS-13 gang members, and they process and they disperse them into our communities.
Senator Ron Johnson at a hearing on Wednesday. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan disagrees with President Trump's assessment of former FBI Director Jim Comey as, quote, a nut job. Ryan tells Axios, that's a new moderate radio service, that Comey was in a very difficult position.
I like Jim Comey. I know that there are people who are on both sides of the aisle concerned about decisions he made. I think he was put into an impossible position.
A new poll shows the majority of Americans disagree with the president's decision to fire Comey. As Catholics celebrated the Feast of Mary, Help of Christians Wednesday, Cardinal Joseph Zen asked for prayers on behalf of Chinese Christians who often face persecution for their faith. Cardinal Zen, Bishop Emeritus of Hong Kong, says, quote, in the history of the Church, Our Lady Help of Christians always came to help the Church in difficulty. The 85-year-old Cardinal is one of the most prominent Catholic voices in communist China. The Catholic Church in Texas promotes more foster parenting following the state legislature's approval of strong legal protections for religious adoption and foster care agencies. Jennifer Carr Ellman, executive director of the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops, says, quote, now Catholics can join other people of goodwill and serve Texas children in good faith. The Freedom to Serve Children Act protects organizations in Texas's foster care system that refuse to act in direct violation of their religious beliefs. Vice President Mike Pence sells the Trump administration's proposed budget for 2018 while visiting Baton Rouge. He says the budget reflects the president's main priority, national security.
In this recent budget, President Donald Trump just proposed one of the largest increases in defense spending since the days of President Ronald Reagan.
Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney tells the House Budget Committee the administration's proposals will spur economic growth while balancing the federal budget.
This budget does balance within the 10-year window, something that is completely new in this town.
And the Congressional Budget Office says the Republican health care plan, already passed by the House, is a good deal for those who are healthy and don't need much coverage. Their premiums are likely to be lower. But the CBO estimates the measure would cost sicker and older Americans quite a bit in premiums. How much more is not clear, but the nonpartisan CBO predicts 23 million Americans will end up with no coverage. A military spokesman says troops are using helicopters to help clear militants from the besieged city of Marawi in the southern Philippines. Violence erupted there Tuesday night when authorities launched an unsuccessful raid to capture a terror suspect. Islamic State allied militants are holding a Catholic priest and parishioners hostage, threatening to kill them if the nation's military does not cease its current offensive against them. Archbishop Socrates Villegas, president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines, denounced that hostage taking. He said the priest and the hostages had no involvement in the conflict between the military and the militants. While the majority of the Philippines is Catholic, they make up only a small percentage of the population in Marawi, a mostly Muslim city of about 200,000 people. For the first 5 months of this year, abortion clinic closures outpace abortion clinic openings. 21 abortion and abortion-related referral facilities have closed, while just 5 have opened. Most of the closures resulted from defunding, but abortion facilities in Delaware, Kentucky, Maryland, and Virginia closed because of serious violations. It is 9 minutes after the hour now, and just ahead of the forecast, with Elisa Murphy on your Thursday. The Rockies continue the best start in team history, scoring seven times in the third inning of a 7-2 win at Philadelphia. The American League's worst team of 2016, adding another game to its division lead, earning its first three-game sweep in Baltimore since 1996, 4-3 over the Orioles. The Indians lose ground on Minnesota, blowing a 3-2 lead in the ninth inning of a 4-3 loss in Cincinnati. Zach Cozart's 2-RBI single in the top of the ninth gives the Reds the 4-3 lead over Cleveland.
There goes Hamilton. And a line drive base hit into left, or is it? It is a base hit. Hamilton comes to third, being waved around. The Reds have taken a 4-3 lead.
My friend Marty Brenneman making the call there on Red Radio, where it's 10 after the hour. Here's Elisa with your forecast.
Morning glory weather.
More rain for parts of the Midwest and a windy day in the Southwest as we head into your Thursday. Temps tipping 90 and cloudy for those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network in Clayton, New Mexico this morning. A rainy day in Ann Arbor, Michigan with a high of 63 for our listeners on Ave Maria Radio. And in Dumfries, Virginia, thunderstorms with a high of 73 for those of the dial set to WJPN 106.3 on the FM dial, home of St. John Paul the Great Radio.
You sound like you work there, Lisa.
I'm trying.
You know,
I've been
people.
Asking Father, like, come on, can you hook me up?
We're always looking for good people.
Well, we've got one here. It's 11 after the hour, Gloria.
Oh, well, I came across a story that I found so interesting. Number one, it talks about the Nebraska State Department of Corrections is going to ban pornography in all prisons starting January 8th. Next year. My first question was, you mean they allow pornography now?
That surprises me.
I was completely shocked, but apparently, yeah, a lot of states do allow pornography, and Nebraska is one of a number of growing number of states who are adopting bans on pornography because they want to curtail sexual misconduct by inmates and protect staff, particularly women, from seeing such materials or becoming the object of sexual fantasies.
Well, it's interesting, too, because along with other states that are starting to look at this question, like in Utah and parts of the South, teen pornography is a public health crisis.
Yes.
Is, you know, a step in the right direction, so you can start looking at ways to regulate it.
Well, I think this all really probably originated from the state's corrections director, who's Scott Frakes. He came from the Washington State prison system, which had banned all pornography since 2004. So he probably got there and was like, you guys are behind the times. We need to do this. And he even did a memo. I love the guy. He did a memo to all the inmates saying that allowing pornography is counterproductive to the goal of promoting pro-social behavior and thinking among inmates, and it does not help with rehabilitation.
And a ban doesn't necessarily mean it will be gone. Certainly, drugs are banned from prisons,
right,
but some people smuggle them in. But it is a step in the right direction.
Right, well, having the vision to say this is not something that's good for helping rehabilitate people.
Well, what they do is, the reason he said January 8th is he wanted to give them time to get rid of the materials they currently have. And also, believe it or not, they were allowing subscriptions. So they can give them time to cancel subscriptions. So that was another way prison staff had to handle this stuff and actually go and deliver it for inmates. And they're like, okay, this has got to stop.
And you look at sometimes, too, these interviews with these serial killers who talk about that their problems, you know, began in childhood and adolescence when they were looking at pornography.
That was exactly one of the things that Ted Bundy talked about.
Exactly.
He was a notorious serial killer.
There's nothing good there.
No, nothing. But, you know, there was something else interesting that happened. We had already reported on this girl at a private Christian school in Maryland not being allowed to participate in the school's graduation ceremony. She wasn't going to be able to walk because she was pregnant, and the school thought not a good idea. But, you know, we've already had a history of that happening way back with the Virginia Military Institute. They had a policy that if you were married or pregnant, you had to leave the college. And so VMI is, in my most recent memory, was the most recent institution. It had a policy on it that had to rescind that policy once the federal government got involved in investigating them. And they said, okay, let's drop that policy. And I'm kind of glad, actually.
I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag because, I mean, you know, you have this question, especially if you're trying to have a pro-life culture. If a school were to say, you know, what's the best way to handle a case of a student pregnancy? You know, we want to see a culture that builds up a respect for life. But also, too, the school is balancing out questions, or schools are balancing out questions about whether, not so that you're much encouraging, But, you know, basically, can they have private policies about what they want to do? And I think they have the right to make a decision. I don't think it's absolute either way.
My issue is that it unfairly penalizes girls who actually are the ones that bear pregnancy. And I don't want them to be under the pressure that they need to in order to graduate or participate, consider abortion.
All right, it's quarter after. Dr. Gracie Christie, George, just next.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for Wings, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the Wings link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your wings today.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
Hi, this is Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register.
Hello, this is Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
If you send us a tweet, a text, or perhaps an email, you might hear it on the radio on Catholic Chatter, coming up with our producer, Elisa Murphy, as Morning Glory continues at 17 after the hour. It is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, Thursday, May 25th. Our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Dr. Gracie Christie is a friend of Morning Glory, and she's also a senior policy advisor for the Catholic Association. Good morning, Dr. Gracie.
Good morning. So great to hear your voices.
Nice to talk to you. So not too long ago, you participated in a panel on adopting life that was co-sponsored by the National Review Institute and the Catholic Information Center, and Catherine Lopez moderated. At that particular panel, you were one of the panelists that explored how religious believers can foster a radical culture of hospitality and loving support for unplanned pregnancies through adoptions and foster care. You know, we always talk about being pro-life, and most people in the secular culture think pro-life is strictly and only about, stopping abortion. But on this panel, you all talked about other ways to also help in being pro-life. What were those other ways?
Well, we talked about on the panel, it was me and an attorney who helped facilitate adoptions and also a birth mother, interestingly. I'm an adoptive mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how this is a vital link. The adoption culture is a vital link in the pro-life culture, and in many ways, it's a very weak link. We have to make that connection with the dignity of life has to include welcoming, you know, hospitably and with open arms, the life that is out there that needs a home.
Well, what role does foster care play, and how might we also get involved in that?
Well, there's many ways of being part of the adoption culture. One of them is foster care. It opens loving homes to children. And really, a child needs more than anything in the world, a loving home, to have that positive, that beauty around them when they're growing up. When we miss that as children, maybe our entire lives we suffer from that lack. Mm.
What are some of the challenges that families involved with foster care face if they want to become foster parents, or they get involved with the process? What are some ways that we can support them or be aware of some of their needs?
Well, the problems with foster care are the problems with adoption in general. There's a lot of government regulation that is not conducive to making the process smooth and what's best for the child and for the adoptive parents or foster parents. So I think there has to be a stronger emphasis on streamlining procedures. And again, they're very local things. They're local and state and city ordinances that could make it much more simple. So I think all of us have to be aware of that and see how we can help in our community.
Is that something that should be, like, people get involved with on the local level to help with, like, legislation? Or are these, I mean, sometimes you find out that these are bureaucratic regulations mm-hmm. that are sort of understandable, but they were put in place and now they don't help? Or is it a political issue? I mean, what are some of the ways that this affects people?
You know, like in everything, we live happily in a democratic society, and our lawmakers, they respond to pressure from voters. And this is something that we can all help as voters to keep an eye on things. And when things come up, you know, make our voices be heard.
Yeah, it is the whole foster care adoption. The laws vary from state to state. And, you know, it is something that it really is like a tangle of things. There's no one thing across the country. So it does vary state by state. But I know that the big push is to get believers to be involved in adopting and being taking care of children who are in the foster care system. But one thing that I also noticed, just to switch gears a little bit, is you wrote this article for Real Clear Religion about what to expect when President Trump and the Holy Father meet. Based on what has happened, do you feel like your outlook in the article was made true?
Yes, I feel, well, part of it. I thought that the Pope and Mr. Trump would talk about religious persecution and religious freedom, and they did. In fact, I believe that was the overarching theme of the president's trip, that the way he hit the, you know, Islam, mm-hmm. Christianity, and Judaism in this trip. And I was really glad about that, because, like many Catholics and most Catholics and Christians, we are very concerned with religious persecution. And we need a leader of the free world and the leader of a billion Catholics to work together on this very pressing problem.
Well, the Holy Father recently visited Egypt, Gracie, and he really showed a real strong effort to bring the faith together, especially, you know, those who believe in peace and against terrorism. But there also is the life issue, and secular media really downplays it. It often brings up the environment and immigration as differences between the Holy Father and President Trump, but aren't they in strong agreement on that crucial issue of life?
Yes, I think the Pope can be very happy with the first part of Mr. Trump's presidency, with his expansion of the Mexico City policy, for instance. Just that is a huge thing, because the Pope has often spoken about ideological colonization mm-hmm. and the way the West pushes its anti-life agenda on poorer, weaker nations. So I think they have a lot to celebrate together.
Well, they also have that common cause, as you pointed out in your article, about trafficking, human trafficking and Christian persecution. What did you think of what was discussed regarding Christian persecution? I know you mentioned it earlier in the interview, but didn't know if there was more you wanted to add on that discussion between the Holy Father and President Trump.
No, what I thought was interesting is that they seem to be pretty much on the same wavelength as far as the way that they speak about Islam and its unfortunate, too often connection to violence and how violence does not express the will of God. I heard echoes of that same idea, that same way of thinking in both of their speeches, the Pope's speech in Egypt and Mr. Trump's speech also. And I think that that's something that has to be brought up over and over again, that Islam cannot connect itself to violence in that way.
True. And I believe the Holy Father and the president are on the same page with regard to marriage and family.
Yes. Yes. I don't think that there's much light between them. I think that maybe Pope Francis has a stronger, more deeper philosophical appreciation of the issue, but Mr. Trump certainly is on the same page.
What do you think of all the I think you, just all the media pictures of the Holy Father and the Pope meeting, some people are trying to make a meme where they're trying to make it look like the Holy Father was not too thrilled meeting President Trump. What do you make of that?
No, I watched as much as I could. I try to look at it from different perspectives. I really liked the way that the meeting came off. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was a lot of warmth between them, and there was from Mr. Trump's side, there was a lot of sort of, oh my gosh, I'm at the Vatican talking with the Pope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. It reminds me of George Bush, right? Looked like a little boy following Pope Benedict around.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be, you know, how could you not be taken in by
so
all
human.
The beauty? Yes.
It's such a human reaction. I could sort of see it in his sort of gleeful face. I can't believe I'm here.
Right.
Being welcomed like
this. Well, Dr. Gracie Christie, thank you so much for calling into Morning Glory. And for those listeners, I just want to remind you, she's a senior policy advisor for the Catholic Association. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye, Gracie. And let's take a look at Catholic Chatter just ahead of some spiritual guidance from Father Bjorn. Alisa?
Regarding our conversation with Dr. Gracie Christie on foster care, this month of May is National Foster Care Month. We've heard from Stuart, who is a foster father right now of three children. He very much enjoyed that conversation. Wonderful to do that. We also heard from Larry and also Daniel regarding our conversation yesterday with Father Seguto on Requiem by the group The Fraternity, a brand new Gregorian chant album out now. You can find it at demontfortmusic.com. That's demontfortmusic.com. And stay tuned, music lovers. We have Marie Miller coming up later on during the show today.
All right, you young folk won't remember this, but when I was a kid growing up, today was a holy day of obligation, Ascension Thursday, Father.
Absolutely. When we go to the movies, we see a preview of coming attractions for future movies. And so in August, on the Assumption, August 15th, we show that Jesus' victory makes our victory possible because we see Our Lady being taken up into heaven. But today we celebrate how Jesus is the one who completes the victory by returning to heaven. So in the Ascension, what's the difference? Our Lady is assumed, Jesus ascends. He returns on his own. And a lot of times we can think about the fact that when the Lord rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, that this was the victory. And of course it was the victory. But Jesus completes his mission, our Lord completes his mission, when he returns to heaven, to his heavenly Father's side. So 40 days after the resurrection, this count, comes from Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, Acts 1, that on the 40th day, he ascends to heaven. And so in different parts of the country, it's kind of, we could maybe almost call it Ascension Weekend, because today on Ascension Thursday, parts of the country of the regions of Boston, Hartford, New York, Newark, Omaha, Philly, they celebrate today. Other regions of the country celebrate on the Lord's Day on Sunday. So wherever you are living, hopefully you will get a chance to go to Mass. But realize that this is the day when our Lord returns home. And he's calling us home, and we want to cooperate. We have free will. God cannot force us to say yes to him. But if we say yes, victory is assured.
All right. Go to Mass anyway, even if it isn't a holy day of obligation in your area. It's a great celebration, the Ascension of our Lord. Craig Stammen of the San Diego Padres, another Padre father, is going to join us to talk about faith and baseball coming up in our next segment here on Morning Glory. Stay with us.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory. CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, opinions, and more to your fingertips. For the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, oh yeah, I know that passage? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is half past the hour at Guadalupe Studios. We thank the Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting Morning Glory from our nation's capital. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy. We're going to be joined by San Diego Padre Craig Stammen in a moment. But first, let's go to our own Padre, Father Bjorn Borg.
Bjorn Lundberg.
Yeah.
Whatever Thanks, name Gloria. You call me, I'm glad to be a Padre.
Yeah. I do it on purpose.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sure.
I
want
to
yeah.
promote tennis.
Please lead us in prayer, Father Borg.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate your son's victory over sin, suffering, and death, and his return to heavenly glory, call us on to that glory through the grace of his Sacred Heart. Amen.
Amen. Gloria, what's on your morning, on your mind for morning musings?
Yeah, there was actually an op-ed that Father Bjorn Lundberg shared with me a little while ago, and it was called Who Should You Listen To on Abortion? And it says people who've had them. Yeah, well, I want to talk about that a little bit during my musing.
All right, we're going to put Padre to work here, Father Bjorn Lundberg, helping me introduce San Diego Padre Craig Stammen. We'll have the news coming up in just a little bit. Craig, great to have you back on Morning Glory. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good season so far for you?
Yeah, it's been a good season, taking away the wins and losses. But other than that, you know, the young team has kind of, grown quite a bit. We've learned a lot from our tough times and, ready to improve as the season goes along.
As a Catholic and as a devoted member of the Catholic Church, how do you see yourself as a leader among the guys that you play with, whether it's on the field or in the dugout?
The way I go about my business is kind of the calling card that I go by, and I'm always trying to get the guys to be around each other and express their faith when they have a chance to do that. And we can throughout Major League Baseball, we have a really good opportunity with Catholic Athletes for Christ and how they've pretty much given us a Sunday Mass in every stadium when we play on the road and at home. So there's plenty of opportunities to practice our faith, and if I'm just there for the guys to be somebody to lean on, that's a good thing, to have people like that in the clubhouse.
Craig, this is Father Lundberg. I'm a high school chaplain, and Catholic Athletes for Christ is very active in our area. And one of the things I'm always impressed by, is seeing examples like you and other athletes who are just, by being friends with their other teammates and who are living their faith in a natural way, give a model to kids today, because, a lot of times faith just gets put, in the back burner, or no one wants to talk about it, or they think, on another extreme, they had to lead some super intense, overly unusual religious life that most Americans don't relate to. So naturally living your faith, practicing it, knowing that that's part of your life, is such a great example for our kids. In your work, do you get a chance a lot of times to speak to high schools or work with high school athletes or, obviously guys who want to play baseball professionally or in college? When you meet them, how is that for you as a player to be able to know that you're a role model for them?
It's very humbling to know that you're a role model. I think growing up as a kid, you want to be a professional baseball player. When I was a kid, I wanted to play every sport there was, basketball, football, golf, baseball. Lord bless me with being able to play baseball. So you think it's just all about playing the sport. But, there's other plans out there that the Lord has, and, you're here for a bigger purpose, and that bigger purpose is to share the word and be a good role model and show young kids that, it's not all about the fame and the money and all that kind of stuff of playing sports, but it's about, helping others along the way, helping them grow, which in turn helps you grow. So You know, anything I can do to talk to those kids, there's a lot of opportunities with the job that I have to talk to many people, you know, about many different things. And as long as I make faith a big part of who I am, which is everything, I mean, anything that I do, my faith is a part of. And I think the biggest part of me growing was, you know, when I realized that, you know, my relationship with Jesus wasn't just something that was off to the side, but it was something that's a part of my baseball career, my relationship with my family, my relationship with my friends, my job, my personal life. It tied into all that stuff, and then I became a true witness.
That's awesome. Well,
Craig, I love the way you referred to your athletic ability as a blessing from God. I think that probably takes the pressure off you at the plate and in the field as well. And I understand that your new bride, Audrey, has some wonderful gifts on the golf course and showed it in Hawaii recently.
Yes, she out on honeymoon hit a hole in one. Yeah, I'm an avid golfer, so you know I'm a lucky guy that I married such a wonderful woman that let me golf on our honeymoon. But I think now that she's hit that hole in one, she likes golf probably more than I do. She's always begging to go out there. But she's quite the athlete. She played volleyball in college, and then coached volleyball for most of her adult life. So she's all about sports too. We make a good match.
Well, I know that your children will have great talents as well. Consider that a blessing from God. Craig Stammen with the San Diego Padres, thanks for getting up so early to be with us on Morning Glory.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Of course, he is associated with Catholic Athletes for Christ, and we'll have more on that in later shows of Morning Glory. A look at the news quickly, then we'll get some baseball scores for you. There's been a fifth arrest in connection with the deadly terror attack in Manchester, England. A doctor treating some of the victims was overwhelmed by the number of unidentified children. Dr. Peter Mark Fortune at Royal Manchester Children's Hospital says he had a hard time focusing on medicine as he thought about what parents might be going through.
I think one of the hardest things that certainly I directly dealt with my colleagues in the Children's Hospital was looking after children who we didn't know who they were. We didn't know their name. We hadn't identified them.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tells reporters on Air Force One about creating a center for moderate Islam in the Middle East, trying to disrupt terror financing networks.
This is really a center of excellence that we're going to develop and then use it to hopefully replicate in other places around the world to disrupt the money flow. If the terrorists don't have money, it's hard for them to carry out their acts of terrorism.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May and President Trump are expected to discuss this terror attack as they meet later at NATO headquarters today. President Trump arrives at European Union headquarters in Brussels this morning. Before leaving Italy, he talked about his meeting with Pope Francis.
He is something. He is really great. We had a fantastic meeting and we had a fantastic tour. It was really beautiful.
Melania Trump asked Pope Francis to bless her rosary. As the First Lady held the rosary in both hands, Pope Francis prayed over it and made the sign of the cross. The First Lady looked delighted, quietly saying thank you. A Michigan school district halts its use of a Planned Parenthood sex education program for students after the plan sparks a strong public outcry. National Public Radio Michigan affiliate reports Saline Area Schools, located south of Ann Arbor, recently asked local residents for their opinions about a proposal to allow Planned Parenthood-trained teens to teach sex education to students at its schools. This week, one school official said they abandoned the proposal because of the overwhelming negative responses that they received from the public.
So great.
In sports, Tanner Roark allows a run and eight hits over a season-high seven innings to pitch Washington past Seattle. 5-1, the Yankees 3-0 winners over the Royals. The Red Sox erupt for seven runs in the seventh inning of a 9-4 comeback over Texas. The Tigers double up Houston 6-3. Ryan Goins crushes a grand slam and three other Blue Jays homer in an 8-4 rout of the Brewers in Milwaukee. Anthony Rizzo crushes a pair of solo homers. And Kyle Hendricks limited the Giants to two runs over seven innings of the Cubs' 5-4 win at Wrigley Field. 22 till now, just ahead of Morning Glory and Musings, here's Elisa with your forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
A rainy day along much of the Northeast this Thursday. A high of 62 and wet for those tuned to JMJ Radio in Scranton, Pennsylvania this morning. A sunny day in Charleston with temps in the mid-70s for those listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. And for those joining us on St. Bernadette Radio in Peoria, Illinois, expect a sunny day with a high of 74.
Trent Horn talks about why we're Catholic on Cresta in the afternoon, starting at 4 Eastern. So take the ride home with Cresta as you drive into work today with Morning Glory and Morning Glory of Musings.
So when I read the op-ed that Father Bjorn sent me, it was from a woman, Renee Bracey Sherman, who is truly post-abortive. I mean, she goes, if you watch anything that she has on Twitter, she's just very angry and bitter and just some of the things that she spews out. You can tell this is a person acting from a place of pain, someone that is also trying to rationalize and justify this decision she made when she was 19. And she talks about it in her op-ed piece. She apparently is what you call now, what they call an abortion doula. I mean, it's so diabolical. I had a doula when I gave birth to Lourdes because I wanted help dealing with the pain since I was going to have a natural birth without medicine. So she serves as what they call an abortion doula, who is someone that goes to the abortion clinic and sits with a woman who's having an abortion, someone who's there to try to reinforce her decision to have that abortion or reinforce the trust in herself, the woman's choice. And I'm just like, wow, this is so diabolical. And she talks about in her own abortion when she was 19, she kept it a secret from her parents. Why? Because she didn't want to take the risk of her parents basically not supporting her decision. And then she goes on later in the article to say, no one asks why people have abortions. And I'm like, but you denied your parents a chance to ask you why. You denied your parents the chance to answer the questions of, would you be able to make your child healthy lunches? Would you be able to finish your own education? Because those are the questions she said she thought about in having an abortion. I'm like, you kind of turned away from any source of help. And yet, you, in this article, is saying that all the stigma and shame is put on the woman because of society. And I'm like, I think you feel stigma and shame because that's a natural part of what happens when you do something so radically violent against your own body and the child in your body. And in fact, she says, we have to listen to women who have had abortions. Well, yeah, we do. We've got Project Rachel. You've also got abortionchangesyou.com. And also there was an article in Essence Magazine in 2013 where a lady writes in and talks about how an abortion may have ruined her marriage. She writes to Dr. Sherry, who's a clinical psychologist, and I was just so surprised that the psychologist says, yeah, this is understandable that this abortion is not only ripping you apart, it's destroying your marriage. You've got some problems with your husband, and you both need to go to counseling because the depression and all these things that you're feeling is natural and normal, which is quite the contrary to what this Renee Bracey Sherman puts in her piece. She tries to say that, you know, women have reasons for doing it, and they only have feelings of shame and guilt because it is you people out there who put this on us. And I have to say, this is a piece that says this is a woman that needs somebody to pray for her. She took a pot shot at adoption. She took a pot shot at pregnancy centers. And she took a pot shot at society and not ever taking her own responsibility for her choices. And that's why people feel some of the shame and guilt. So what we need to do is who we listen to. Yeah, let's listen to the women who are telling us this hasn't been a good thing for them. And let's listen to the women that talk about when they try to say they have unresolved feelings, how they are shushed by the pro-abortion and feminist movement. And let's not be those people. Let's listen to these women who are having unresolved feelings. And most importantly, let's pray for people, especially those like Renee Bracey Sherman.
When we were in seminary, as part of our formation in the Diocese of Arlington, on our summer assignments, we would have opportunities to meet with leaders from the diocese who worked in different ministries or apostolates. And one of the most impressive things that struck me was when we met with, at the time, Bob and Jerry Laird from the Office for Family Life. And Jerry talked about the fact that as priests, as clergy, as people ministering in the church, at any given congregation, any place where we were going to be, we were going to deal and be speaking to people who have made this decision, mm-hmm. people who've chosen to have an abortion, to end a pregnancy. Either they've done it or they know someone who's done it, or, you know, there's a lot of impact on this. And it was really powerful because she said, you know, realize that, yes, we have to preach the truth and we have to tell people the truth. But we're also talking to people who are wounded. And one of the things that struck me from the article is that you've got somebody who's trying to process this wound.
Yes.
And they're not sure what to say. And it's tempting to sit to try to say, the feelings that I have are bad, that are coming from society.
Yes.
Not my conscience. Mm-hmm. Not this. And so I thought that was one of the reasons why when you look at the Fatima anniversary we're in this year, the 100th anniversary of Fatima, that the three parts of that message were prayer, especially the rosary, mm-hmm. penance, and then to spread devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Mm-hmm. Prayer is our lifeline to God. That's our relationship with Him. And if we don't have that, we want to encourage in our own lives and lives of others to have to know Him, to know His tender mercy and His love. Penance helps rebuild other people's lives. It's reparation for sin. It repairs, it heals, you know, it reconstructs. When there's a hurricane, Katrina, we go down and we rebuild homes. Well, penance is a way of not only rebuilding our own lives, but the lives of others. But the Immaculate Heart is our refuge. Mm-hmm. We can bring wounded people there, ourselves, and all those affected by these decisions to know a mother's love and to begin healing.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Bjorn Lundberg, and you've invited Marie Miller.
I'm excited. Yeah, we have Marie Miller next on her with her new album. She's going to be joining us on Morning Glory to talk about her testimony and her awesome career. Stay tuned.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We'll keep you closely connected to the faith with the latest from Rome, the front lines of the pro-life movement, and we'll also take a look at other crucial issues facing you and your family in our one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Bishop William Medley of the Diocese of Owensboro.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Hi, I'm Archbishop William Laurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, and you're listening to EWTN Radio.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
Father John Paul is our celebrant for Mass as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord right after Morning Glory at the top of the hour here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is 13 minutes till. This is Morning Glory for Thursday, May 25th. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy and our godly counsel is the chaplain of St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Over the past several years, we have been blessed at John Paul to have a visit from time to time from a Nashville recording artist, Marie Miller. She is from Virginia, and she's just launched another album, and she's traveling and touring around the country, and in her busy schedule, we're able to get her on the phone this morning to talk about her album and her message and her mission. Thanks for joining us today, Marie.
Great to be here.
Tell us about your new album, and what's the rollout, and how has the reception gone?
Yeah, so my new album is called Letterbox, and it's called that because it feels to me like each song is a bit like a letter that I wish I could have written to a friend or a past boyfriend or a parent, and things that I wanted to say. And also, I'm an old school soul and love writing physical letters still. And so far, I've been blessed. Billboard magazine premiered it, and we got to be on NPR and Sirius XM, and now EWTN. So I feel like I'm totally good now.
Good,
Marie. I'm very curious. I mean, I can understand kids, writing poetry or coming up and wanting to do lyrics, but how did you discover you actually could sing? I'm just impressed by people that have that gift. So I'm just curious, how did you know you could actually sing?
I think I just started singing. It came very naturally to me. My parents encouraged us to do music at a very early age. So, mm-hmm. So it was just part of. I don't really remember. I know that my favorite movie when I like since I was 2 years old was the sing-alongs. The Disney sing-along.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so I think it just came very naturally.
And nobody ran out of the room when you were doing the sing-along, I take it.
Marie, which album is this for you now? Is this your second, your third?
Is this technically my third, my second as a signed recording artist.
And then you were, for this, you were recording only in L.A. or L.A. and Nashville or all over the place? Where was a lot of the
LA
studio work?
L.A. and Nashville. Yeah, L.A. and Nashville. So that was really cool to do both. And I really like, L.A. was fun. It was in January and November when we recorded, so it was a great time to go be in California and not be in Nashville and Virginia, which I'm in Nashville right now, actually.
And you travel around the country, you do all these venues. Do you have a favorite place to perform? Or, I mean, you know, you kind of just love to sing. The passion comes out, obviously.
I don't know if I have a favorite place to play quite yet. I think I had some pretty incredible performances. I got to perform for Pope Francis when he came to Philadelphia. So that was probably my favorite performance I've ever had.
Yeah, I think I saw or at least heard part of that performance. Marie, I'm curious, though, you talked about how you try to express in your song some of the things that you would like to write in a letter, perhaps say to people close to you. Give us some examples.
Yes, well, in Letterbox, there's a song called Stones You Throw, and it's a song about consequences and things that we... Everything we say and we do, as much as we want to think that we're isolated, that it has ripples in people's lives. And so that was something that I wanted to say to a good friend of mine who kind of has gone astray and, it kind of feeling like, okay, nobody really cares what I do. You know, let me do my thing. You know, if I'm not hurting anyone, that whole thing. And so... that's Stones You Throw, and that's just one of the songs off the record.
As you go around the country and you're on the radio and you're promoting the album and you're performing, I know that you're a person of faith. That's one of the reasons we've asked you to come to John Paul in the past, because your talent is what hooks people, but then the integrity of your life, your efforts to live the faith, that witness is so important. Do you find that being a busy person with this demand to perform for people and bring beauty and joy and art to the world, that your faith helps you personally to live your vocation as a musician and as a performer?
Yes, I think that, and excuse my voice, it's so early in Nashville.
No, we don't blame
you.
You've
been singing a lot, I know.
Yeah, just don't have me sing. It's amazing because the reason why I do music is because of my faith. And that's really because of John Paul II's letter to artists. That inspired me as a young person I loved music, and I knew that I loved that, but to have this amazing letter that he writes, he says, beauty is a call to transcendence. It stirs in us the hidden nostalgia for God, and that's why I'm doing this. So whether it's a Catholic event, like the events I get to do for John Paul the Great, which is amazing, or if we're just playing at a festival that is not a Christian festival, but we try to again, stirring that hidden nostalgia for God. And I don't really know how I could do this without that driving me.
Mm. Marie, I was reading that you are the third of 10 children, so I imagine you know what it's like to be in a house that's pretty vibrant and got a lot of noise. But then I also was reading that in some of your non-music activities is Eucharistic adoration, which I would imagine also takes you to a very quiet, quiet place. Can you talk about how Eucharistic adoration affects you in terms of performing or inspiring you to write, or just in general how it affects you as a Catholic artist?
I think that adoration has always been very special to me. My parents took us pretty early on, and it was one of the few things that we were allowed to do when we first got our license. in that way. So, and it's become a part of a big part of my life. And I think I don't know if it directly affects me as an artist. I'm sure it does, but I've never thought about that. So it's a really good question. I know that it gives me rest, and that and that if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to, like, it's so noisy, especially the musical world today. It's just like there's so much like you can't run away from the noise. And so to have a place that is completely quiet and to listen is so, listen in silence is so important. And but yeah, I probably get all my inspiration from adoration, but I just never thought about it.
Well, Marie, it's great to hear from you. I hope your listener, our listeners can get your album. Where's the best place to go? To iTunes or website? Where can they connect with your music?
Yeah, it can either iTunes or my website, which is mariemillermusic.com, or Amazon or Spotify, whatever, kind of whatever your favorite music listening avenue is. I'm there.
Well, my 8-year-old and 4-year-old nieces love to listen to Marie Miller in the car with my sister, Christina. So I know we've got lots of people out there who are sharing some love with you. Thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to be with us.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Bye-bye. And you too. How refreshing to have this talented singer and a talented baseball player, Craig Stemmen, joining us on the same show to talk about how their faith really is the fuel behind their lives and their professions. All right, let's take a look at Catholic Chatter ahead of Father and today's gospel. Elisa?
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. We did hear from Mary regarding Gloria's musing and Father, your wise words this morning. And she says you both hit a home run this morning.
Thank you, Mary.
Also heard from Jose, listening in New Brunswick, fellow Canadian, who says he finds us to be very uplifting. And he says we help him wake up with the right way with my heart open and praying to the Lord. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement.
Again, our email address, morningglory@EWTN.com, and 5 till and Father in Matthew chapter 28. We are there at the scene of the ascension.
We're at the ascension. We're on the mountaintop. Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We've received our mission. Jesus wants to go out and help us make us grow the family, help them to encounter Christ, to learn his teaching, and to live it. And he's with us. We're never alone there in the Blessed Sacrament. He's with us to encourage us.
Happy feast day of the Ascension of our Lord. Father Bjorn Lundberg, thanks so much for being our godly counsel.
Great to be with you.
And Gloria, it's always good to share the morning with you. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, and this time we were planned, I guess, switch chairs. And this we'll have a Dominican, but it'll be Father Dominic Legg tomorrow.
Live from Fribourg. And we've got Father Christopher Hartley, who has a new book out, Slaves in Paradise, A Priest Stands Up for Exploited Sugarcane Workers.
All right. Thank you, Elisa Murphy, our producer. And we thank you for listening and invite you to join in as we give glory to God on this Ascension of our Lord, praying, glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed Thursday, and we'll talk with you in the morning.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.